Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Loving God, thank you that you have a message for each one of us this morning. Thank you that you want to speak to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to hear from you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's Advent week 2. Christmas is getting closer. Who's more excited than I am? Is anyone more excited? Oh, there's a hand gone up. Okay, I'll challenge you later. So for the church, Advent is this time pre-Christmas where we kind of get ourselves ready for Christmas. We're getting ourselves ready to meet our Messiah, who we're going to celebrate the birth of in just a few weeks' time. So today's reading, we have this guy, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Elizabeth's son. Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. John the Baptist was the one who leapt in the womb when he felt the presence of Jesus come near, when Mary went to meet Elizabeth when they were both pregnant. John the Baptist leapt in the womb because he was so excited to be near Jesus. John the Baptist is the one who eats the locusts and the honey, the one who wears the camel hair clothing and the leather belt. He's the one who signposts Jesus. He spends his life pointing towards who Jesus is and trying to get people ready to meet with him. John was the one who was prophesied about in Isaiah 40, where it says, "He is a voice calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" John was called to get people ready to meet with Jesus. And he was letting people know, Jesus is on the way. You've got to do something about this. This is important. You can't just sit back and let this pass you by. You need to be ready for this. He was preaching, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He was bringing people to this baptism of repentance. We heard that he was baptizing people in the River Jordan. He was baptizing people into this baptism of repentance. And people were coming to him, confessing their sins, being baptized, trying to get themselves ready for their long-awaited Messiah. I wonder how we all get ready for things. When we have visitors coming, perhaps, Some people like to clean and tidy their house. Some people like to prepare food. Some people leave their house as it is and just welcome people as they are. I'm one of the manic people that rushes around with lists of things to do, lists of lists, and this cleaning that needs to be done and this food that needs to be prepared. And we've got people coming to stay for Christmas. So those lists have started, and everything is dated when we need to do everything and get ready. But Advent is about what do we need to do to get ready for Jesus? What's on our list of things that we need to do to get ready for Jesus coming? Well, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. We welcome him into our midst. In John 1, there's this magnificent, mysterious passage that says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt means to tabernacle, to pitch up your tent, to come and stay. Jesus is coming to pitch up his tent among us, coming to stay with us, to dwell among us. But as well as that, looking forward, we're getting ready for the return of Jesus. We know that Jesus has promised to come again in glory. So how do we get ready for that as well? So back to John the Baptist, and he is surrounded by people who are expecting God to come to them. They know they've been promised a Messiah. And Zechariah 1 starts with this call to return to God. And Zechariah gets this word. "Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Return to me, and I will return to you." That's what the Jewish people are trying to do. They're trying to get themselves ready so that God will come to them. And they're being baptized into this baptism of repentance. They're desperate for God to come, but they know they're not ready. And then later on, in Jesus' ministry, we hear him preaching, "Repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is drawing near." God's coming. God is coming to meet with you. You need to be ready. Got to make your preparations. Feels like we're being told to repent on all sides. But what is repentance? We're being called to repent, but what is repentance? What does it mean for us? What does it do? It's a bit like sorry, a bit like regret, a bit like apologies. It's a bit like all of those things, but it's a bit more than that as well. It's a bit more than that. Has anyone got one of those robot vacuum cleaners? No. Okay, I'll have to do a little demonstration for you then. So you have these robot vacuum cleaners. You plug them into their charger. You set it on a timer, go out for the day. Then when you go out, this robot vacuum cleaner comes out of its charger and it does the vacuuming. And it will kind of bump into something, spin around. Off it goes in the other direction when it cleans that bit. That's a bit like repentance is turning around in the other direction, going off on a new path. But like that robot vacuum cleaner, you hit the wall, you sense something in your way, something that's not going to let you through, something that's not good, and you have to spin 180 degrees, head off in the other direction. You'll have to go home and look up robot vacuum cleaners now. But they have these senses as well, and that's we can be on the lookout for what's going to hinder us, what's going to get in the way of our relationship with God, what's going to set us off in the wrong direction. How can we be aware of that? Can we avoid that? Can we spot that coming? Can we repent of that and spin around? And the stuff that we're turning away from, we heard in the reading, John was saying about wheat and chaff. And the chaff is kind of the useless bits of the wheat that you can't use for anything. And the useless bits that we're trying to turn away from, the bad things, the things we don't want to be attached to, that's the chaff, the stuff that Jesus is going to burn up and get rid of. John says, one is coming, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have the water baptism of repentance. But when we have baptism by Holy Spirit and fire, that's the burning up of all the bad stuff that we have. And Jesus making us pure and making us holy. And what we're turning towards is the wheat, the stuff that's good, the stuff that is useful, the stuff that's life-giving. And that's the stuff that Jesus is going to gather up when he comes and makes all things new. So when we're called to repent, we're being called to turn away from the bad stuff, turn towards the good stuff, and live that life that God wants for us, facing in the direction of Jesus. But that can only take place if we switch direction. It's like, imagine if you were to walk forwards, but you were looking over your shoulder. Eventually you'd walk into something, you'd head off in the wrong direction, you'd fall down a hole, whatever's in your way. You wouldn't see it coming. It's a big commitment. Repentance is this big commitment to turn around, face in the right direction, and keep heading towards Jesus. To not look back and think, oh, what? Yeah, but I can kind of stay attached to it. No, we have to cut that stuff out and keep heading in the direction of Jesus. But why should we repent? What's that got to do with me? Why do I need to? I wonder if any of you have ever met a celebrity. I have a story. My mum and I were walking through this park. It was St John's Wood, the church gardens. We were walking through the church gardens, and me and my mum were linking arms, and really quiet day. And I saw this couple up ahead walking towards us. And all of a sudden, I realised who it is, and I grabbed my mum's arm really hard. I can't find the words to tell her who I'm seeing. And at the same time, my mum is looking at the lady in this couple thinking, I recognise you. And then all of a sudden, she feels this grip of mine on her arm. And it's Paul McCartney is walking towards us. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't speak. You know, it happened so quickly. And I thought, oh my goodness, I just brushed shoulders with Paul McCartney. And I couldn't even say hello. I just forgot how to person. Simon Peter has a moment like that in Luke 5. Not with Paul McCartney. He's not in the Bible. But when Simon Peter meets Jesus in Luke 5, he realizes who Jesus is. And he says, get away from me, I'm a sinner. Get away from me, I'm a sinner. He's embarrassed. He knows and recognizes Jesus' authority. He can't stand to be in his presence because he realizes his own imperfections. Just doesn't quite know what to do with the person of Jesus in front of him. And John the Baptist, there are people asking him, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been waiting for? And John says, no, I'm not him. The one you're waiting for, I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. That would have been the task of a slave. And John is saying, I'm not even worthy to do that when it comes to Jesus. And that's like us, we're not worthy of God. And our sinfulness suddenly becomes very real when we're standing next to Jesus. I wonder how we would feel or act or react face to face with Jesus. What would we do faced with Jesus in all his glory? Isaiah has a vision in chapter 6, it's recorded, and he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. We recognize our sinfulness and our inadequacies, and repenting is part of getting us ready, knowing that we're not worthy, yet God calls us anyway. And being in the presence of someone who is so worthy, shines that light on our own unworthiness. And I perhaps suppose that sometimes even recognising our own sin is a bit hard. I'm sure we all have moments, I know I do, where I think, I'm all right. I'm okay, really. It's not that bad. Sometimes it's a struggle to recognise our own sin. In verse 9 of our reading, we have John who rebukes the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're religious leaders, and they're really proud of their purity and the way they follow the law. But actually, this pride is getting in the way of their ability to repent here. They say, God made promises to Abraham. We're Abraham's children. Therefore, we're all good. We don't need to repent. We're covered. And John is saying to them, no, you can't rely on that. You can't let other people do the repenting for you and just get on with it. If God wanted to, he could turn these stones into his children who will repent and return to him. He doesn't need you. Don't rely on other people repenting for you. But the fact is, we are sinful. Romans 3:23 says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy of God. None of us live up to God by our own strength, which means we're all in need of God's forgiveness. We all need to repent, and we all need to reorder our lives and focus back on Jesus. No one is exempt from that. So how do we repent then? It's no good just saying sorry and then continuing to live in a way which is intentionally sinful, damaging, facing away from Jesus. But John in verse 8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. It's not just paying lip service to saying sorry. He's saying you should be producing fruit if you're living differently. You should be living in accordance with this new covenant that we have with Jesus. You're not under the old law. And if we're being penitent, it should show in our lives. People should be able to see evidence of the Spirit at work in us. People should be able to see a life which reflects the love of Christ. But it is hard, it can be really hard to change, to have that 180 spin and walk in the other direction. We all have different things that we need to repent of. Whatever yours is this morning, we can all ask God for help with it. We can't do it alone. We can be filled with the Spirit who will help us walk in the right direction. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Say to God, I really want to face in the right direction. I'm really sorry for the things that have been pulling me away from you. Help me to walk in this new direction facing Jesus. And we can be changed by his Spirit and know 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. That means we're free to live a new life. We're not controlled by whatever our old life was, whatever we have done in the past, whatever is kind of keeping hold of us, whatever that thing is that's controlling us. We don't have to be controlled by it. We can live a new life in Christ. We just need to ask God to fill us with his Spirit and help us to walk in this new direction. And real repentance is a complete and lasting change of heart and life. A life that we're not trying to be full of sin, where we can be forgiven, where we can be made pure, and where we can be made ready to meet Jesus. That's how we get ready to meet our King. And I know some of this starts to sound a bit dismal, doesn't it? A bit beyond our capabilities. Can we really ever ready ourselves enough to meet with Jesus, to be in the presence of our glorious God? But I think we have hope. And I just want to share with you a story from the Gospel of John that I think demonstrates this hope in such a beautiful way. There is a woman who is caught in adultery, and she is dragged out by the religious leaders in front of crowds and crowds of people. In the Jewish law, they were expecting to stone her to death for what she'd done. And she's dragged out in front of these crowds of people, and then religious leaders say to Jesus, who's there, Jesus, what should we do? The law says we need to stone her. What should we do? And Jesus said to them, let the person who is without sin cast the first stone. Whoever among you is without sin, you can throw the first stone at her. And then Jesus bends down, it says, and starts writing in the dust. And one by one, the crowd just slip away. until there's no one else left but Jesus and this woman. And Jesus said to this woman, did no one condemn you? She said, no. And Jesus says, well, then I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. What is amazing, Jesus is the only one there without sin. He is the only one who can cast that stone. And he doesn't. He doesn't condemn her for what she's done. What amazing hope is that for us, that we are not condemned for what we've done. Jesus doesn't cast that first stone at us. And then after that, he tells her, go and sin no more. After she hasn't been condemned, he then says, go and sin no more. The hope we have is that our forgiveness isn't dependent on us acting upon our repentance. We know we're going to mess up again. We're human, that's what we do. But God still forgives us and says, I don't condemn you. I'm going to help you try and live this new life. And God wants us to change direction for our own benefit as well. We're promised a life in abundance in all its fullness with Jesus. That's what God wants for us. And he knows that a life pointing in the wrong direction isn't going to give us that. We know that God forgives our sins. We know that we can say sorry. We can ask for forgiveness and God forgives. He does not condemn us. And when we are called to repent, we're not repenting of who we are. We're repenting of what we've done. God created us. In Genesis, it says God created humans and they were very good. We're very good. And repentance is learning to live in a way that reflects what God already says about who we are. Just in the stillness this morning, perhaps there's something that has been holding you back, something that you know that you need to repent of. Something that you need to do to get ready to meet your King and start walking this new life in a new direction. Like John, we aren't worthy to untie the sandals that are on Jesus' feet, yet he comes to us. And it is never too late for us to come to God, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to be forgiven.